watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world, laying up my treasures, that home above, trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of His saving grace, through each earthly trial in His love can trace. Surely that in heaven I'll find a place. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready. Oh, getting ready. Oh, keeping my record right. I'm getting ready to leave this
world. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go.
Oh, yes, He did.
If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. Oh, I'm getting ready.
Thank
to
you,
leave
Lord.
This world.
Somebody say, yes, we are. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? Haven't you enjoyed church here over the weekend? Certainly appreciate the word of the Lord. Brother Darrell Ward just gave himself over to the Lord, and the Lord just, well, He just used our brother in a wonderful way, and it was a big encouragement to everybody that got to be here. I believe that with all my heart. Well, we're here tonight. It's time for camp meeting one more time. We just have a continual camp meeting around here, and I'm glad to be part of it. Are you? Why don't you shake hands with somebody around you tonight? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on a Wednesday night. Brother, play some more.
Prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while we linger here below. Well, I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Yes, we are
getting ready to leave this world.
One more time.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, let's just give the Lord a real, real, real good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. He's worthy of our praise tonight. You can be seated for just a little bit while we look at her prayer request. Prayer request for one of my relatives who was supposed to have had surgery this morning, especially for a speedy recovery. There's not a name attached to that, but we just committed unto the Lord. Ask God to be with those folks. Give them a speedy recovery. Brother Frank Williams, two urgent, unspoken prayer requests. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Al Stevens wants us to pray for his wife's cousin, Laura. She has a stomach tumor, very large in size. Also, they are looking at doing a major surgery on her. They're not certain if it's cancer or not. She believes but does not attend church, and they're asking that the Lord would just help them to be a guiding light and maybe an influence on her life to get her into the house of the Lord. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. I want to please pray for the following people who are relatives of Victoria Thomas in Georgia. Richard Hansen has fourth stage cancer and heart problems. Patsy Hansen, heart issues, going in for procedures. And Kenneth Hammonds, serious heart problems. So those folks, they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer tonight. Sister Pat, Brother Jeff Nunley says, please pray for traveling mercies as we travel to North Carolina to be with the Gibbies this coming weekend. So let's pray that God would give them traveling mercy and be with them. Please continue to pray for Brother Bert, Sister Barbara Gravely. We just commit that to the Lord. Sister Lou's mother, Brother Bean sends this in, is in the hospital in Tullahoma with multiple problems. She really needs a healing touch from the Lord. So we want to remember that tonight. Brother George Hamlin sends this in. Thank you for your prayers for my brother-in-law, David Green. Last Wednesday, he suffered a major heart attack. The doctor said they could do nothing. After prayer was made, he is out of the intensive care unit and possibly going home later this week. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God's so good. All the wonderful testimonies. Brother Terry receiving his healing here just the other night. Brother Fred receiving his healing just the other night while the preaching of the word of the Lord and prayer was being made. Listen, the book of Acts is still alive. We've not been hearing a lot about miracles, but we're learning how to behave like children of the Most High King and live a normal everyday life. Things are going to happen for us. I believe that. Won't be a big show to the world, but we'll know what's going on, won't we? Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? You have an unspoken prayer request? Let's all stand to our feet. We're just going to commit all these things unto the Lord tonight. Do you love Him with all your heart? Is He the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Do you appreciate Him more than life itself? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Brother Brad Yonts, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. On behalf of all their requests, we'll just commit them unto the Lord. Love you, buddy. Let's
just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity again to come into Your house. Lord, we want You to feel welcome and walk up and down these aisles and minister to our hearts. Lord, You see every hand that was raised. You know the need there. These requests, Father, that was mentioned, serious needs, Father, You don't move, Lord. I pray, God, that according to Your perfect will, move for each one of these requests. Father, this service tonight, God, may You anoint every part of it, the singing, the special singing, most of all the minister, Lord, as he comes out tonight, God. May You anoint our pastor, God, to speak to us and give us strength, Father, because we face a devil, God, that we fight in every day, God. We need that strength to overcome Him, Lord. I pray, may You just move and have full control of this service. We ask these things in Your name.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service with us, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming the service, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want Brother Harry to lead us in this song. We'll help you real good if you'll sing. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, what a time it's going to be. You know, we don't get to spend a lot of time together here like we probably would like to in different things. Everybody's just in a hustle bustle. And you know, our time with the Lord, I'm sure that's not what it ought to be. But there's going to be a time, Brother Terry, we'll get our own personal audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what a time that's going to be? When you just sit and thank Him for all the many things He's done for you in life, all the blessings, all the healings, all the needs He's supplied, watching over you when you wasn't even aware of it, He's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartaches and frustration, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me.
When the reason that I'm standing
I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, every battle that I fought will be times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, I thought I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. And someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
When the reason
that I'm standing, He stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought,
it'll fade from
memory. I'll bow and fall down on my knees.
Well, with the reason that I'm
join the millions, every kindred tongue and race, and every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan sword, we'll all stand together and declare, Jesus is Lord. And the reason that I'm standing, He stands in front of me. Every battle that I fought,
it's gonna be from memory.
I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down. Stands in front of me.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Well, I'm so glad. Lifted me. Well, now I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Sing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
He made me shout and happy when Jesus lifted me. He made me shout and happy when Jesus lifted me. He made me shout and happy when Jesus lifted me. Sing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Well, now I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Yes, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. So glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Aren't you glad that He did? Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Ryan Kennedy, is he here in the room tonight? Brother Ryan, are you here to sing for us? Or is he even here? Somebody told me that he had a song.
He's back there.
Where is Brother Ryan? Brother Ryan, come on up here. Give him a nice hand tonight as he gets ready to sing for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go right into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. And we're just going to pull on the gift of God. It's untelling what could take place in this service right here tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Ryan, God bless you.
I was thinking I got out of it today. I guess not. Lost are saved, found their way at the sound of Your great name. And all condemned find no shame at the sound of Your great name. And every fear, it has no place at the sound of Your great name. The enemy, and he has to leave at the sound of Your great name. Jesus, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. the Son of God and man, and you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. And hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. And the fatherless, and they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed, and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, and you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, and you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name, your great name. Your great name, your great name.
No idea, my brothers.
Well, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, well, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, I'm feeling better. So much better. Oh, since I laid my burdens down, I'm feeling better. So much better. Since I laid my burdens down. Well, just like singing, since I laid my burdens down, I feel like singing, just like singing, since I laid my burdens down.
Sing it.
ain't God good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Aren't you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, believe it, we are a continuation of the book of Acts. The same Spirit of God that wrote this book of Acts almost 2,000 years ago is alive right here in this building tonight. With the same kind of people, the same kind of emotion, with the same type of reaction, with the same type of new birth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. To me, that is so sad that a man can believe and still be lost. Paul is not saying this out of sarcasm now. He knows this man believes. Well, if it's possible for a person to believe the prophets 2,000 years ago and be lost, a person can believe the prophet from an intellectual standpoint of this day and still be lost. It's important to believe the prophets, but you've got to believe Jesus, friends. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, just a little bit, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. Let's pray over the word, shall we? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful tonight, Father, that we're not almost persuaded, but as Paul wrote it later, we are fully persuaded. We aren't almost persuaded that we're in the last days. We are fully persuaded. We aren't almost persuaded that this is the truth. We are fully persuaded. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have been fully persuaded, not by our parents, not by a preacher, not by a church, but by God Himself. If our mama talked us in, mama might talk us out. If a preacher talked us in, another preacher might talk us out. But since you birthed us in, there ain't nothing powerful enough to get us out. We are thankful for that tonight, Lord. Take your word, Father, and speak it to our hearts. Make it real tonight, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. You know, the more a person knows and sees the truth, the more responsible they are for that truth, and actually the better they can make a decision about that truth that they are hearing. From that point of view, this is where King Agrippa is now going to become more responsible in the sense of knowing that what has been said is the truth. Now, he has a faith, but it is not a faith unto salvation. Now, let me explain to you this way. A person can have faith to believe God to heal them and still not have enough faith to believe that God can save them. The New Testament, the four Gospels, contains example after example after example of people that had faith to believe that Jesus could heal them and make them well. But yet many of those people never went on to have a faith to believe that Jesus could actually save them. Many people today believe that Jesus can save them, but they don't have enough faith to believe he could give them the Holy Ghost. Because many of them don't even believe there is a Holy Ghost. So faith can come in increments or in parts, and a person can have faith to believe this and this and this, but yet not believe this and this and this that goes with it. Now here Agrippa has a great faith in the sense of being a believer in the prophets, insomuch that Paul could say, I know you believe the prophets. Now remember, this man's testimony has already went before him, that he was not a murderer like his father, a murderer like his grandfather. He was nothing like either of them. Now he was living in an incestuous relationship with his sister, but yet the man, by the law, as far as the keeping of the law, was a pretty straight sort of a fellow. And Paul could answer back to that I know that you believe the prophets. So he could believe the prophets and still not have faith to believe that Jesus had raised from the dead, and to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior. Now notice he says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now there can be no doubt that this man's response is of genuine faith because of the way that Paul responds back. Has it been an element of sarcasm and him simply making fun of what Paul said? Yeah, right. You've almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Ha, ha, ha. I think I'll join up with you. That would have not have been Paul's response in the way that he come back. Paul's very demeanor and the way that he responds back to the man lets us know that it must have been something genuine that he was able to sense in it. So Paul now plainly answers him in a way that would appeal to his sincerity. So to profess faith in the Lord Jesus is more than saying, I believe the prophets. I believe Moses was a man of God. I believe Elijah was a prophet. I believe Jeremiah was a prophet. All that is well and good, but do you believe what Moses had to say about the present truths of the hour? Well, I believe what Moses said. That's all well and good. But do you believe Genesis 3:15, Deuteronomy 4? Do you believe when you come down to particulars of what he said about what Paul was preaching about, then Agrippa would have to, of course, say no. Now, he says, you just like a little bit persuading me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou. Now, notice how he responds to this. So he's not just appealing to this man of power, which was a puppet king placed there by the Caesar, the Nero. But he's not just a man that he's trying to reach out to them of great influence. But he said, I wish not only you, but I wish you and everybody in my hearing, everybody that is in this room would be not almost, but altogether a Christian. And you would be just as much a Christian as I am. Now he's saying a mouthful. Now Paul's not saying, well, come up and shake my hand and we'll write your name on the book. Oh no, that's not the type of Christian that Paul was. Paul had met the Lord Jesus in a pillar of fire, and Paul had been baptized in his name and had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he said, I wish every one of you had the same walk with God that I've got. Amen. You talking about a man that really wanted for people the best that God had. That's a man after my own heart. Amen. Not a man that wants to just get a crowd. Not a man that wants to get a big following. But a man that desires for people to have such a walk with God that God is not just sayings. God is not just words. But God is a reality in their lives. Oh, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almighty. Most and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now, you know, there's still, Paul knows exactly that he's in the will of God, but there's still a reproach that comes with these bonds. Now, as a man, he's being as honest as the man can be. That there is a reproach, there is a shame, there's an element of causing you to bow your head as people would look at you and ridicule you and make fun of you because you're standing there as if though you are a criminal. Yet from one tribunal to another, and this one's going to end up exactly the same way. They are all saying the man is innocent. Yet he's being treated like he's robbed somebody, that he's molested somebody, he's done something terribly wrong. It was a reproach. Let's all be honest, okay? Even though we love the Lord Jesus and we are proud to be identified with him, there's still an element of dishonor that comes with the reproach of bearing the word. I don't care if you're a woman with long hair or you catch somebody kind of snickering at you with your long dress and so on. There's something about the human response that kind of embarrasses us a little bit. And you realize the prophet said whenever the Lord Jesus had made those remarks and the people turned and responded toward him the way they did. And the prophet said that Jesus kind of got a little bit embarrassed. Why? Here it was. He was bearing the same thing. Now you imagine if he would have bore our sin, bore our shame, bore our sickness, and never bore our embarrassment for truth. Then when you and I get a little bit embarrassed for truth and humiliated, people call our names, they ridicule us, they call us a cult and whatever more. And Jesus allowed himself to feel the embarrassment and the reproach for the word. You talking about a high priest, because there is a reproach for the truth. Now, for the most part, there is no reproach in America for saying you are a Christian. Now, you can be a Christian and be gay, so-called. You can be a Christian and you can live any life you want to live. You can be married 57 times and 57 more in the making. You can drink. You can do whatever you want to do. And there's no reproach in saying that you are a Christian. It's cool. It's in today to say you are a Christian. It's in to say they are in our prayers. I heard several news reports today. You know, here are these people, governors and police officers and this and that and the other. And they're saying they are in our prayers, in our prayers, in our prayers. So that's an American thing to do. So it's not no reproach to say you pray. It's not no reproach to say, well, I believe in Jesus. I am a Christian. Yet, I heard some of them same people talking later about going out and drinking at bars. So you think, yep, typical Christian of this day. So there's no reproach in that type of Christianity. Oh no, there's no reproach as far as the majority of Christendom is concerned. But to be a real born again, Holy Ghost filled Christian that does not drink, that does not run around, that does not live like the world, act like the world, there is a reproach. Not only out yonder, there is a reproach in and around many message folks if you really live a godly life anymore. Because you're old fashioned, you don't understand, and they absolutely intend on making you feel embarrassed. Do we feel embarrassed? An element, yes. And Paul said, I wish that every one of you were like me except this. He said, I must be honest. There is an element of reproach. Don't you understand? When the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, he was ashamed. He was ashamed because he was naked. He was ashamed because being a curse on the cross, he was embarrassed. He was humiliated. Mary was ashamed when they called her a harlot and a prostitute. Peter must have been in shame. On and on and on it goes. And I'll tell you, friend, if we are real true Christians in this day of the word, we will be reproached for Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about our oddities and our peculiarities and us making ourselves odd. That's your own knucklehead. I'm talking about whenever the word of God demands for us to live such a way and we are reproached for that word, the Lord Jesus knows how you feel. Oh, where do you go to church? Happy Valley. Oh my, I mean, you can tell people got the look on their face. Oh, I've heard of your church. Yeah, I've seen your pastor before. I've seen your pastor. I understand. I sent at a place several states away from here not long ago, last year, actually, honey. And I was sitting there at the table, me and Brother Daniel and Brother Darren. There's a guy at the end there from Utah. And he said, where are you from, Tom? And I said, Johnson City, Tennessee. He said, I've seen you. And he told his buddy, he said, I've seen that man on television. Brother Darren, Brother Daniel, they both picked it up. Oh, he's a famous guy. He's kin to Ronald Reagan. He's this, that, and the other. That guy said, I've seen that man on television somewhere. My face, I could feel it. My face started flushing. My neck, I got as red as a pickle beet. And I ain't no pickle beet. But I could feel it, Brother Wayne. What was it? I knew probably what the man was talking about. I pulled through Bojangles not long ago to get something to drink. When I pulled through, the woman opened the window and said, I've seen you before. And I said, really? I've seen you before, she said. Again, instant red like Rudolph's nose. My face gets as red as blood. I said, really? She said, yep. I used to work at Sonic and you used to come through the office. What is it? There is an element of reproach. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And people that say that don't bother you, I doubt that you've really got it. Because there is a contrast of the real birth of the Word that sets up against your flesh. And if your flesh enjoys that, it shows there's been no diversity between your soul and the flesh yet. Some people enjoy it in their flesh. That shows me they still have got a problem. Because they're taking part of that and adding it to their flesh as if though it brings some glorification to the flesh. You get a life, friend, and realize the life of Christ. It is different than this human part. Come on now. The real reproach for the Word, it will always bother us. And Paul said, I wish every one of you was like me. I wish you had the Holy Ghost. I wish you was born again. But I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I wouldn't wish this reproach. Why would Brother Branham say, I wish this message was not mine to bring? Why? The reproach, the burden, the difficulty, the hardship. He didn't say he didn't wish God didn't send it. He didn't say he didn't wish that it wasn't on the earth. He just said he wished it wasn't his to bring. Oh my. Why? There is reproach in bringing forth and standing for the Word. Oh my. Well, what in the world? Was that for you or who was that for? Anyway, now he says, I wish that you were both almost and altogether as I am. Now Paul knew that it was the duty and the responsibility of Christians in that day to bear the reproach of the Word. Now, unlike them, of course, yet we still haven't had laws here in our country passed against us, but yet it was fixing to come in the making. But now here is this great, great man of God standing there with chains on his arms, chains on his legs and his feet, and you look at those others that are sitting around him. Here's Bernice, here's Agrippa, here's the great royalty of that day, and here's the Roman governor, here's all the other people, but you really wonder who was free in that place. Who was really the free man and who was really the people that was in bondage? Now, it would seem as if so by the natural eye that Paul was the man that was in bondage, but that's not true. It would seem as if so that Bernice and Agrippa and Festus and all the rest of them were the people that were free, but that's not true either. The man that looked like he was in bondage, him and Luke, was the only ones that was free in the whole place. And the other people that looked like they were free, they were all bound up. Now, we just celebrated the 4th of July yesterday. Our day of freedom, when we got our independence many, many years ago. But you know what, friends? America is in more slavery today than she ever was in 1776. Now, our fathers, I wonder what they would say today. If they would look around and see the laws that our Supreme Court has upheld and our congressmen have passed, taking the lives of babies and saying that two men can get married and two women can get married, on and on and on and on it goes. I wonder what our founding father, come on now, don't get quiet on me. What would they say today for anybody who really stands for the truth? That you are hated. You are absolutely hated, and eventually our voice will be silenced. And yet this is the very reason that our fathers came here, was for freedom of religion. But many of our school teachers and our professors say that this is not a Christian nation, that we was not founded upon the principles of God and come for freedom of religion. Well, that's not what our forefathers thought. Oh my. Listen to this. Brother M says, I believe that a Christian life is a continual sacrifice. He that will come after me, let him deny himself daily, every day, not 46 days. Now he's referring here to Lent. For those of you that don't know what Lenten or Lent is, it was a 13th century term that was come up in the time of great Catholicism, of course, the darkness of the dark church ages. And it was a term that was set aside either 40 to 46 days to where the Christians would fast certain things. So they would do away with certain pleasures and certain foods, and they would need them leading up to the Passover. As Brother M said, some woman come to him and said, you know what I'm giving up for Lent, Brother M? He said, no, he said, chocolate. She said, I never did like it anyway. That's like me saying, I'm going to give up broccoli. I could give it up for the rest of my life and live a perfectly normal life. But now for me to give up chocolate, whew, I'm having withdrawals right now thinking of it. Why? No sacrifice to give up broccoli. You see, that's the way people have in their mind Christianity is today. It don't cost them nothing. They don't have to give up the way they live, the way they dress, not to clean out their closet. They don't have to clean out the music they listen to. They don't have to clean out the videos and the movies that they watch. They can watch the same stuff they watched when they were sinners, but now they are a Christian and they live the same way and do the same thing, and now they're going to heaven. What is it? Slavery. Slavery. But they feel like they're free. But they would look at you tonight, and they would look at our young people, and they would hear me preach, and they'd say, that's a cult. They can't go here. They can't do this. They can't do that. Them people are so bound. Are you? Tell me, are you? Did anybody make you come to church? Does anybody make your sisters wear dresses? Does anybody make you let your hair grow out long? Does anybody make your brothers go to the barber shop and get a cut? Does anybody make you pay your tithes? Sounds like to me, y'all free. Free. Glory. You do this because you want to. They bob their hair because they have to. They put on makeup because they have to. They dress like that because they have to. That spirit in them demands they do it. So who's in bondage? Who's in bondage? Notice this, he said, take up his cross and follow me, said Jesus. Not just 46 days, but every day. Christian life is one continual Lenten. Oh my. Oh, how the Christian loves to do it. He doesn't do it with a grudge. We're going to church tonight, I reckon. We could stay home and watch I Love Lucifer, but I guess we better go on to church. He doesn't do it with a grudge. Listen to this. He does it with a feeling that he loves God. And he's glad. Not only glad to do it, glad he can do it. Oh, praise God. I am so glad I can do this. I'm so glad I can live right. I'm so glad I can go to church. I'm so glad I can proclaim the truth. I'm not just glad I do it. I'm glad I can do it. I'm glad I want to do it. Oh my, he's glad he can do it. Now listen to this. It's a joy to serve the Lord Jesus. It's a joy to sacrifice. It's a joy to worship the Lord. It's a joy to be called a fanatic for the kingdom of God's sake. It's a joy to take a stand for the right and move for the wrong. Joy to praise him. It's a joy to abstain from the things of the world. It's in their heart. Amen. It's a perfect Lent. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to read it again. He doesn't do it with a grudge. He does it with a feeling that he loves God. He's glad he can. can do it. It's a joy to serve the Lord Jesus. It's a joy to sacrifice. It's a joy to worship the Lord. It's a joy to be called a fanatic for the kingdom of God's sake. It's a joy to take a stand. Amen. Glory to God. I feel like shouting. It's a joy to take a stand. What for? The very word of God. We're not bound. We do this because we want to. It's a joy to take a stand for the right and move for the wrong. Joy to praise Him. Joy to abstain from the things of the world. It's in their heart. It's perfect Lent. Lenten all the time. God's Spirit comes into you and changes your desire. Now we hear so much today about we are free. Oh, we live in beautiful America. We are free. The air is full of it. Notice there, this is 6/12/1959. So it's just a little bit under a month before July the 4th is fixing to roll around. So no doubt everybody's getting their red, white, and blue out, and they're getting their barbecue grills out and going to get their hot dogs and their hamburgers and all that sort of thing. We're free. We're free. We're free. Boy, if the prophet said this in 1959, what would he say now? Oh, he said the air's full of it. Books are wrote on it, thousands of them. But you are a million miles from being free. You're not free. Don't be deceived by that. America is one of the greatest deceived nations in more bondage than any place I know of. You know why some of you didn't say amen to that? Because you don't understand bondage. Now listen to this. You're talking about powerful statements. They're worse in bondage than communism. Than communism. Notice this, friends. Than communism could put an end. How in the world in more bondage than communism? Notice this. He says, oh my, communism can only hurt the body. That can only put the body in bondage. But when the devil comes in, he puts the soul in bondage. A man is a slave. America is a bunch of slaves. Oh, you say slavery was abolished in 1865 only for the black race. And that was only naturally. The blacks, the whites, the reds, the yellows, every nation, every tongue. All of America except the born again are still slaves. They're not slaves to the white man. They're not slaves to the black man. They're slaves to the devil. Their own appetites, their own passions, their own desires that lead them contrary to the word. Under the auspices of freedom, I'm free. I can do what I want to do. Nobody does. You do what another power leads you to do. Whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, you are motivated by another world. You are motivated by another king other than yourself. And what that king bids you to do is what you do. My, my. Now let's look at this just a little bit. He says, you may be a slave to pride. Okay, so slavery then here in America was that you'd go down to wherever it was and there was a big black man and a woman or a small black man or whatever more, and they'd stand there and bid them off like a car or a piece of property, and you would get a bill of sale with that individual. Horrible. I said horrible. God never intended for man to be a slave. Then they would take him, and if they wanted to kill him, they killed him. If they wanted to bring this man to this woman, whatever they wanted to do is exactly what they done with it, because they felt like they were their property. That is a slave. They changed their names. They took them from their African names and made them choose a so-called Christian name. They changed everything about them. They were slaves. Well, if a person is a slave to their pride, keep that same symbolism in your mind, then your pride becomes your master. So your pride tells you what kind of attitude to have. Your pride dictates to you how much you comb your hair or how much you do this and other. Comb your hair. Take a bath, at least for our sakes. Put on clean clothes. I don't think we ought to come to the house of God looking like we just pulled out from under a grease pit. Clean up. Praise the Lord. Clean up. Oh, you say you ain't got no scripture for that. I'd beg your pardon. I do have scripture for that. Whenever God was going to come to the children of Israel, you know what he told them? Wash your clothes and take a bath. Hallelujah. It makes it a lot easier for us folks who come to church who have to sit downwind of you. Well, praise the Lord. Right. But pride then can go on the excess of that. Pride can go to where pride is actually the soma, has the servant's bidding, and it is the master's call. My. Notice this, he said, you may be a slave to pride. You might walk up and down the streets and go through every store and every fashion that you can see on television and go from store to store trying to buy something. You become a slave to it. Uh-oh, I see right now here, amens is going to become fewer and fewer. Praise the Lord. You become a slave. You become a slave to your dressing. You can become a slave to your money. Whew. You can always tell who ain't got money on that quote, the ones that say amen the loudest. That's the only thing you think of is to make money, grab, put it up here. If you do that, you're a slave. Why? Because money then becomes your master. It is no longer a means to be able to use to exchange goods. It is your master. How can I do this? How can I change that to make this deal, to get this better? Oh, I need more and more and more. You know how a lot of it is? Well, a lot of fixers, the more they get, the more they got to have. And the more they get, the more they got to have. It's like they never reach a spot to where they stop. So what is your goal? More and more and more and more. You're a slave. You're a slave. So your love for money, your love for all of that is driving you. So you work your crazy self to death. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. I'm with you, buddy. How many folks yesterday, friends, celebrated the 4th drunk? How many of them went and bought hamburgers and hot dogs and steaks and barbecue and beer and whiskey and wine and dope and all kinds of stuff at the same time? We're free, they say. Caught up today with a hangover and a headache. Free! Really? I don't want none of that freedom. They don't understand freedom. But if they would have seen you at Walmart the same time that they was there, and your sisters in your long dress, or your brothers and your little children, you know, look at them poor little kids, poor little things have to wear them big old long dresses. You can tell they don't let them cut their hair. Look at them. They probably make them drink that red Kool-Aid still. He drinks a different version, though. He drinks it. They don't kill him. I say they hand them different kinds. It's same stuff. Same good Holy Ghost. That's what we're talking about. We don't want no Kool-Aid. We want the power of God. I said, we want the power of God. And what does it do? It really makes us free. Do we have an element of pride? We do. Do we need money? We do. Do we have an element about us that we want us to look as good as we can? We do. But we do not want it to be our master. Oh my, can I go on? Thank you. You may be a slave to your religion. You may be a slave to a bunch of creeds. Let me tell you, a creed is nothing but the framework for communism. Good Lord. Do you understand what some of the things around this message, not brought by the prophet, but men who came after him, you know what they're building? A framework for communism. Oh man, creeds is nothing but a framework for a communism. It's a scaffold work that the devil can use to build communism. It's a cold formal church, for men and women will go to that church and become a slave to their religion and become a slave to the devil. But of course they look at us. They look at your sister's hair and they consider it shackles. Look at them. I'd say some of them women ain't had their hair cut in 50 years. Yeah, glory to God. Look at them straggly ends. Don't they know if they'd cut them dead ends off? If you'll do a little further research, sis, you'll find out now they're all disapproving that altogether. That cutting the dead's ends don't make it healthier. And that ain't message preachers that say it. I just looked it up not long ago from women's websites as far as the health of hair. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now you're making them say what we've been saying all along. Well, look at them. They look so much better. Don't you think they'd look nice now if they had a little black around their eyes and a little red here? Well, you know what? I can see where you're coming from. But the kind of preaching we do here, we preach hell so hot. But boy, I can't imagine them flames that get so hot and all that up there and burning around. And then we go to crying and carrying on and go to shouting and go to jumping around. We get hotter than a firecracker in this place. And you run that black and that orange and that red all together. Oh my, you don't want that on your face, sis. Well, Brother Donnie, some old barns need a new coat of paint. I wouldn't call you that, but if that's what you want me to call you, I'll call you old barn face if that's what you want. But I thought you wanted to be a son or daughter of God. I thought you wanted to be free from the things of the world. Don't you see the women of the world have to do that? I seen an article yesterday on Yahoo. They said celebrities without the war paint. So it was the rich and the famous. I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And here it was showing the picture of this one all made up and the other very same woman not made up. And they actually called it war paint. I agree. You know who they're at war with? God. God. Well, I'm at war too, but I ain't at war with against God. I'm at war with God against the devil. Oh my. I kind of felt like when he wanted me to put these several pages quotes in, you was going to have time here tonight. I just wasn't sure what kind of time it's going to be. I mean, notice this now, men and women will go to that church and become a slave to the religion, become a slave to the devil, going into the church and putting your name on the book and paying money into it, or either they'll go there and there's never nothing said about wrong. I don't like to say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm not speaking too hard. He said, nope, I'm not. I want to say it with season in it, but sisters, amen, that'll go out there in the streets in Chicago, it's disgraceful to see them. They take their clothes off and walk on the street and they seemingly don't know any different. They don't realize they commit adultery. Say, Brother Branham, I know a woman cannot wear shorts without having an evil spirit on her. You get that? Because she might not believe it in her intellectuals, but Satan has put that spirit on her to show herself before men. And at the day of judgment, every man that looks at her in a wrong way will be guilty with her of committing adultery with her on the day of judgment, and her pastor don't say nothing about it. You can imagine then the pastor don't say nothing about it, and the woman dresses that way. She goes out to Walmart somewhere. She goes over here to Target and she goes to TJ Maxx. So in a day's time, how many men seen her and looked at her and thought bad thoughts? At the day of judgment, she's going to stand there and answer for committing adultery with all of those men, though she may never even spoke to them. And who's going to be to blame? That sorry, rotten pastor where she's going to his church. So God's going to make him tie him in with all them adulteries. Oh, Oh, my. No, you can't make people live right. That's one thing about it. Those folks that come to this church, they don't live right. They don't do right. But God ain't going to make me answer with your sin. Amen. I'm going to stand up here and declare it's up to you whether you do it or not. You commit adultery. You sisters cut your hair and this and that and the other. I'm not going to stand there with you before God and God point his finger in my face and say, Donnie, I called you to tell the truth. You compromise. No, sir. If you vote me out, if you throw me out on the street, if we have so few, we got to hold the church in the bathroom. I'm going to stand for the truth as long as I'm in my right mind because God's going to hold me responsible. I am not a slave to you. I am not a slave to your opinion. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. People become slaves to the pastor. And it can be turned around. The pastors become slaves to the people. Afraid to say anything because this person contributes big and this person does this and this person buys him a new Cadillac and this person does that. Nope. It shouldn't be that way, friends. We should stand for the truth no matter who does what. Whether it's your uncle, your brother, your cousin, your mother, your daddy, your grandpa, makes no difference. Just plow a straight row and preach the truth. Now, who wants to be free? Who wants to be free? Shooting a firework up in the air does not mean you're free. It just means you wasted how much ever money that firework cost. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. 4th of July. People was blowing them all up to 1 o'clock this morning. Brother Skip told me somebody in their neighborhood was setting off fireworks at 1 o'clock in the morning. Celebrating what? Freedom. Freedom from what? Many of them don't even know what we're free from. They couldn't even tell you what it was all about. Well, praise the Lord. So why are you celebrating the 4th of July? A lot of good food, Brother Donnie. Barbecue and pork and beans and cabbage and all. Oh, man, a lot of good food. Men gave their lives for this freedom. Right? Oh, my friend, let me tell you tonight. One gave his life. He didn't need nobody to go with him. He went there and tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. He gave his life for our true freedom. I refuse to let people try to pull me and you into some bondage of some man somewhere. Some man around the message that feels like he's the absolute. He come to take Brother Branham's place. He's the eighth day messenger. Hogwash. There is no such a thing. Nonsense from the pits of hell. Amen. There is no eighth day messenger. There is not another prophet in the making. The next major prophet that rises on the scene will be Moses and Elijah. There is no other prophet promised to the Gentiles. So I ask you, who's the free man? Agrippa or Paul? Who's the free man? Porcius Festus or this preacher? And let me bring it down to your level. Who's the free woman in this age? The women you saw today at the grocery store or wherever more, they dress the way they want, do whatever they want. And at the day of judgment, they'll stand there before God and every one of them clothes that they wore shone before them and everybody else on a big screen as it was. Well, they call it freedom then. Oh, but Brother Donnie, it costs something to serve God. Sure it does. Sure it costs something to serve God. It's going to cost you to serve the devil too. If it's going to cost you either way, why not get something that's got the best dividends? After all, what can the devil give you? Go ahead and live your life for the devil and turn your heart over to him. And what can he give you? Hell on earth. All kinds of diseases, all kinds of sickness. Oh, y'all want to smoke? Go ahead. He'll let you have emphysema and all kinds of other things. Well, you can't drink in this church. Yeah, you can. We ain't got nothing against drinking. We got a problem with what you're drinking. That's our problem. We don't mind you getting drunk on that wine of Acts 2:4. We don't mind you getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting up of a morning drunk, go to bed at night and drunk, so carried away in the Spirit of God, you're almost a fanatic to the world. Yes, Praise the Lord. You want to call me a nut? You want to sit there and think that I'm an idiot and that I'm in bondage? Compare me to the guy on the street tonight that has to go out and do whatever. Take his baby's milk. Go rob a car. Go something. Break out a window lock to steal something. To go shoot something up his veins. To sit there. And then it takes him out there for a while. And then he comes back. And he feels so much worse, Brother Wayne, than he ever did. And you want to tell me that I'm not free? You want to tell me that man's free? You want to tell me a woman that has to sell her body to get them sort of things is free? I tell you, you don't understand freedom. You don't understand freedom. Oh, Paul could tell him, Agrippa, you don't understand what it's like to be a king. Oh, you're a king appointed by man, but just as soon as they appointed you, they can take you down. Paul could have told him what it was like to be a king and a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Notice in verse 30, when he had thus spoken, the king rose up. And the governor and Bernice, they that sat with them. When they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. The continuation of the book of Acts. This still happens all the time. Happens to preachers, it happens to you. People hear you, they see you, and then what do? They get among themselves and they begin to talk. People haven't changed really that much. It's the same thing. Now, what are we going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with this man? And when they were gone aside, now they separate themselves, go into a private room somewhere where the rest of the people in the court cannot hear what they're discussing. So, how is it that Luke was able to write down what they said when they went off by themselves? That's one thing about the Holy Ghost. He can say what you're talking about over the breakfast table. Many of you have had it to happen to you just like I have. You talk to your wife coming to church or sitting around the supper table about something. You come to the house of God and that man of God gets up there and says almost word for word what you all was talking about. You say, Lord, have mercy. And you look to your wife and she looks back to you and you think, it ain't till we've got a great preacher. We've got a great God. Amen. Aren't you glad you sat under that type of a ministry in this day? Notice now what they have finally agreed, and they come together. Notice this in verse 31. And when they were gone aside and they talked between themselves saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony of my innocence. Praise the Lord. Every person that requests prayer from our church here, even those who run us down and talk about us, cast our name out as evil. Yet when their baby gets sick or something happens and they request prayer by you or email us, who Brother Jim, or call the library or whatever, what are they doing? Attesting that God hears the prayers of some of you kooks. You nuts that they think are so far off. If you are so far off, why would God want anything to do with you? Why will they get a hold to you when they really need prayer? Because deep down inside their heart, they know there's something about you that's right. So why don't they call their cussing preacher? Why don't they call their cigarette sucking, you know, all this sort of thing down to Baptist church or the Methodist church? Why don't they call them? They ain't seen a miracle there in so long. They don't know what a miracle is. Praise the Lord. Why don't they call Holy Father so-and-so over in Rome? And why don't they get a hold to the great this and that and the other? Well, you know what? They can read the newscast just like me and you. And they probably read some of it today. We're just this week in Italy that they went in and they interrupted a great big thing that was going on here of one of the great elders and bishops and one of the great advisors of the Pope himself. And they was having all kinds of dope and all kinds of people getting men getting high. And there were all kinds of gay stuff going on in there. Now the amazing thing about it is this guy was one of the head counselors of sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. So I guess he figured out to understand that he had to do it. I'm sorry, friends. I'm sorry you didn't know that that's the way it is. It ain't just amongst the Catholics. It's amongst the Baptists and the Methodists and the Church of God. And it's the same way in some of the message people, but it ain't in the brine.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, it would be, because that lays in our flesh that something has to give us a new birth. Now remember, up to this time, there were no laws against being a Christian. This is why they could say this. He's done nothing worthy of death. Nero's fixing to change that. But as of right now, there was no laws against it. But the laws are fixing to change. I'm only one law away from being a criminal. In many different aspects. So if the courts, the legal system decides that I have to marry two men, two women, I refuse to do it. Guess what? I just broke the law. Now it's one thing for them to do it out yonder, but you know they ain't going to be satisfied doing it out yonder. Come on now. They love to come right here. We got an email not long ago from two women that want to come and join our church and want me to marry them. You think you're going to be satisfied staying out yonder? Come on, church, don't get quiet. Oh, Brother Donnie, if that comes, I'll have to find me a better church. Why don't you go ahead and do it now, coward? Praise the Lord. Some of you love God just as much as I do, and if it does come, you'll be standing right here. Some of you's just as faithful to God. Your heart's just as pure as mine is. I believe that with all my heart. Do you believe that about yourself? Why? Because we love this word more than we love anything else in this world. So you're only one law away from being a criminal. So here Paul says at this time he is absolutely, as far as the law is concerned. So what did they do, Brother Jim? They start changing the laws. Now it's not that Paul and the rest of these people now become mean and evil and wicked. They simply change the standard to meet their high standard. So where they are now, it's not a law, it's against the law to be Christians, it's not against the law to preach the truth, not against the law to this and this and this. And they're not going to compromise. They know that. So what do? They move the law closer to the truth. So be it. If that's what it takes to get us out of here, bring it on. Brother Tony, how could you say such a thing? How could I not? I told the Lord yesterday, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm so sick of this world. I'm so sick of the sin and the destruction and the death and all the heartache and the trouble. I wish you could come today. And then I got to thinking about people that's cold and indifferent on God. And I thought, oh God, be merciful. Get a hold of people's hearts.
Amen.
Notice this. It was a full acquittal.
Right.
But there's one problem. He appealed to Caesar. Verse 32. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Now it looks like Paul might have made a mistake. Exactly right. Can't be.
Amen.
He was led of the Spirit of God. Why? Free room and board to roam. Free passage. Guards all around you everywhere. This is a hated man. CNN, Fox, everybody's looking for this guy. I mean, you talking about a dangerous deal. They want to kill this man. So God escorts him with a Roman guard. Free room and board. Oh, I guarantee there's going to be a shipwreck along the way and a snake bite and a few things along the way that's going to kind of get in the way. But you know what? Overall, he's going to get there. Why? Because God sent you going to Rome. And if God sent you going to Rome, get your Roman passport. You're heading to Rome. Get your visa to Rome. Amen. If God said you're going in the rapture, brother, pack your bags, you're going. If God said, hallelujah, the death will not harm you, you better get ready. It won't. Oh, my. Once again, this man has now been declared to be innocent. Can I go on just a few more minutes? Acts chapter 27, verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Now they're fixing to send Paul and these other prisoners to Rome. Italy, of course, was the country that Rome was in. So they're going to send them to Italy. I love the way God does things like this. God is able to give you favor with people that ain't even saved. They ain't saved at all. They never will be, but God can still move on their heart and give you favor in their eyes. I love it when he does that. I've seen God do it myself in my life, and you have too. Of people that just downright just really would really like to hate you, but God won't let them. They're necessary. Oh, my. Now, they're going to Italy, so they're going to choose a ship. Now, watch again, Luke, the great writer, that Luke is not so spiritual, that Luke is not going to leave out the geographical points which are going to be so necessary and essential for the critics and the agnostics to be able to prove this journey, city by city, port by port, that can be traced even to maps this very day. Now, he could have said, well, we was going to go over yonder, and then we decided we'll go over that one. Now, that'd been the way some of us had wrote the Bible. We went down over that old hickory tree, and then we turned up the hill over yonder, and we went fudge over that one, and then we come back down on the other side, and we got lost, and we didn't know where we was at. And then they'd try to retrace our steps and think, Lord, have mercy, who in the world ever heard of such a stuff? But God had a man that was so finite, that had such things about how minuscule they were, but they were important points, so that people would be able to say, okay, so they took off here and they went there. Look in the back of your Bible if it's got maps in it, and you'll be able to find Paul's journey, and you'll find them as they come across. Why? God's got a man that's going to write it down. So you critics want to say what you want to say, go ahead. We still got proof they was there. Amen. Now it was the decree of God. They're going to Rome. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they were delivered. Now notice, Paul, certain other prisoners delivered unto one Julius. Festus, the Roman governor, now delivers this Paul, this innocent man in chains, to go to Caesar. So he turns him over to Julius, who is named after Julius Caesar. He's in the Augustus band, which was named also after another emperor, Augustus. And this man, for some reason or another, took a liking to Paul. They really had nothing in common. They didn't serve the same God. They sure didn't read the same Bible. And they didn't pray to the same God. And they didn't worship the same way. They didn't eat the same food. They didn't talk the same talk. But there's something about that man, he really kind of liked him. He probably didn't even know why he ought to hate him. God done it. God God. Now Julius was a very civil individual to Paul. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to see it. He actually allowed Paul, I've been this civility toward him, that he allowed Paul to be able to receive friends when they become shipwrecked. And he actually allowed him to let the saints of God come and see Paul. And Paul was able to refresh himself, the scripture says. Through who? Not a preacher, not a deacon, not a trustee, a Roman heathen. The Bible says if a man's ways please the Lord, he'll even make his enemies at peace with him. God can move on your heathen boss. God can move on your heathen boss. You may have to change your talk a little bit. Instead of saying, well, I guess it'll be this my whole life. I guess I deserve it. I guess. Well, maybe you're creating part of that. Maybe you need to look at it with a different frame of mind. God, you moved on Julius. You can move on Jack or Joe or Jim or Fred or Marcus or whoever that my boss is. You see, this man ain't nothing but, I don't know what in the world he is, Lord. It seems like this man absolutely hates me. He don't like me. He picks on me all the time. You're still the same God that moved on Julius, a Roman heathen. Move on this Tennessean heathen. Move on this man, God, to see I'm only trying to make a living for my family. God, I just believe it. I'm going to decree it and I'm going to speak it and I'm going to watch you bring it to pass. You're still a God of creation. You're a God that can move on an atmosphere. Move on this man's heart. He may not be savable, but at least make him livable. Oh, glory to God. Entering into a ship of Adramidium. Now watch Luke now. Watch the details. He don't say, well, we went down and we got on a ship and we got, I'm not sure which direction we went, but we headed out toward the waters.
Right.
We headed out toward the waters, but watch how precise Amen. That Luke is. Amen. Entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. Of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian, a Thessalonica. Notice him now. Give the man's name, where he's from, his background. God loves details sometimes. Oh, praise God. Now, this is a maritime town. I found this in history. In Asia Minor, opposite to the island of Lesbos. Notice now how that when Luke writes this, so it can be traced exactly where they were, about when they come up to the Fair Havens, about when they went down to sail under Crete, and what's it coming all the way down through, and exactly where they went, where they wind up. Why God said, leave a good trail, Luke. Leave a good trail. Say it over here, Brother Branham, and say it over here, and say it over there, and let this witness be alive, and let that witness be alive. And the critics arise up and say, I don't believe it. I couldn't find no proof of this and that and the other. Neither can I find any proof that Noah ever lived on the earth, but I believe it. I ain't never found one rock with his name on it. I ain't found no trilobites, no gigabytes, no whatever bites they were that ever said Noah built a boat. But my favorite book of all time says he built a boat. I believe he built a boat. Do you believe he built a boat? Why? Because your faith is in that which you cannot see or understand. It is in the Word of God which you believe to be infallible. But other people say, well, I need proof of this and I need proof of that. I personally don't need any proof. Whenever I read the proof, it just gives me a little more jump in my dates. But I don't need the proof myself because it's revealed to me. Do you understand? For almost 2,000 years, they thought that Pontius Pilate was a fictitious character of the New Testament because there was no Roman records of the man's name. There was actually no records at all of the man until about 15 years ago when there's up around Jerusalem somewhere digging around a bunch of rocks and somebody dug up a rock with some writing on the side of it. Guess whose name was on the rock? Pontius Pilate. I didn't believe anymore. I already believed anyhow. I didn't need the rock. I got the rock. Now, wouldn't you love to bend some of these brothers? Oh my, this brother, Aristarchus from Macedonia, which he was, of course, a Gentile. He was known was Paul in Acts chapter 19 verse 29. The whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Chapter 20 verse 4. And they accompanied him to Asia, Sopater, Berea, and the Thessalonians, Articurus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus of Asia, Tychius and Trophimus. Colossians 4:10. Archaturus, my fellow prisoner. Oh my, what a thing to be called by the prophet of God. Notice this guy wasn't identified as being deep. He wasn't identified as being a shouter. He wasn't identified as being emotional. He was identified as being a fellow prisoner. And he was identified with suffering with the messenger of the hour. Friends, we take it too lightly. We make it too small. We would think, oh, somebody that done signs and wonders and miracles. How many can do signs and wonders that cannot bear the reproach of the word? Amen. Let me close. And Archaturus, my fellow prisoner, salutes your Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments if he come unto you. Again, Philemon, Marcus, Archaturus, Demas, Lucas. My fellow tape players. Oh, I'm sorry. That's this day, ain't it? My fellow push players. Fivefold ministry. Rewind, fast forward, play, pause, stop. The new fivefold ministry. Antichrist. God never sent Brother Bram's tapes to do away with the God called ministry. The God called ministry is Jesus Christ Himself in the form of New Testament gifts. You deal with the God called ministry, you deal with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The next day we touched at Sidon. Let me close with this. This was the famous city of Phoenicia. That's amazing. Because when you study this and calculate it, according to this fall time of the year that they are, and looking at the winds and where they are coming around the coast and moving, you can calculate it exactly how long it was for them to travel. What was it? 2,000-year-old GPS. Now, did most of you Christians need this? Most of you, when you read this, you're like, what in the world does that mean? I don't. So apparently you didn't need that. But God had it put in there, Brother Jim, for a cause. How many of the words in the book of Acts are the names of cities and oceans and storms and seas and difficulties? How come we only get it in our mind that it's tongues and signs and wonders and miracles? Praise God. So the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Let me close with this. Aren't you glad you've got friends like this? Now let's be honest, and none of us will look around, so we won't tell on ourselves. We all have and know friends who are draining. They drain the life out of you. They're good friends, though. And we need friends like that. But there are friends that are 7-up friends. They are brisk, bubbly, refreshing. Praise the Lord. And then we've all got sand friends, sponge friends. And you get around them and they... Oh God, help me to get away from them. Oh Lord, I'm about to kill myself. I'm about to commit suicide. I don't even want to live who you've been hanging around. And then you get around them 7-up friends and you are... Oh, 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 glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I've laid my... What made you that way? You're 7-up, buddy. Friends, we need friends like this.
if you find yourself down in the mouth all the time, you might want to check around who your pals are. You might want to check around what you're feeding on, what kind of music you listen to, and roll all this Facebook thing. Oh, it's so depressing. It's so depressing. Yeah, I read another article the other day about Facebook, and they're talking about how the people are entering into suicide and people entering into all kinds of negative trauma because of Facebook. Young girls entering into depression because of Facebook, because of their imagery, that they don't look like the pictures on Facebook. Well, if you find yourself doing that way, it should be a no-brainer to me. Stay off of it. Read something that'll uplift you. Read something that'll make you bubbly and vibrant and give you joy. Oh, praise the Lord. You think Paul didn't need this? I guarantee you, Brother Warren, this man needed some refreshing. And Luke was so honest that he was not secretively trying to hide that Paul was a man, that Paul was a human. That Paul needed refreshing. I need refreshing from time to time. Can you imagine, friends, what kind of life the prophet of God must have lived, that every time you'd get around people, most of them always wanted something? They most always wanted something. Something. That's already cost so many years and years ago. Whenever he goes, he said, Brother Donnie, we tried to avoid spiritual questions. We tried to stay away from all those things. And he said, if Brother Branham wanted to talk about it, we'd let him talk. He still had napkins and little papers of things that Brother Branham would sit down and draw this and that and the other. And they'd just keep them and fold them and put them back away somewhere. Still got the squirrels that were spoken into existence. I've seen them. I asked him, I said, why didn't you eat them? He said, it's a spoken word. I wouldn't want to eat that. But Brother Charlie wanted to make an atmosphere where the prophet could come. We need friends like this. Refreshing. You imagine Paul knew he was in the will of God, but he was still a man. And he enjoyed getting around people that was bubbling. People that would say, brother, your work is not in vain. You're doing good. You're doing a good job. Keep in there. We need you. We wouldn't be here today if you had not have come. Amen. Don't you love the book of Acts? Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, so many wonderful, wonderful nuggets that are laying here in your precious word. We just go from one verse to the other. Lord Jesus, what a way to end this service here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help me and these other Christians to be refreshing type of Christians. We know what it's like, Lord, whenever we've been working maybe in hot and dry and we're sweating and thirsty. Whatever our refreshing drink is, for some it might be coffee, for some it might be tea, others it might be just water, others it might be some sort of soft drink or a lemonade or something, Lord. I know, Lord, when I get done preaching and where I've sweated and my clothes are wet and my socks are wet and my shoes are wet, sweat running down my back. The time I pray for people, sometimes I'm so thirsty. And I don't want this Gatorade sometimes. They'll see it said here many times. I can't wait to get back there to that water fountain and let it run for just a minute or so. And let that water get so cold. I can't wait to get home and to be able to get a big glass of ice and get me some type of lemonade or some type of juice or something, Lord. I just get so thirsty. Lord, and then I desire to be that type of a preacher, that type of a Christian. Lord Jesus said, if your people are dry, thirsty, and barren, oh Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Not only me, but help these people. We all go through those sponge times in our lives. We go through those sand desert times in our lives that we feel so dry. And we just pull from those. But Lord, help us not to live there all the time. Some people just set up permanent residence. They ain't nothing but a big sponge. That's all they are. But Lord, that ain't what you want us to be. We're going to have them times, but you want us to be a well of living water. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, to be so refreshing to one another. Lord Jesus, help these saints when they come through these doors. May they not come in here with just the sponge mentality. May they not come in here, Lord, with just the desert sand mentality. They've not just come to get and get and get and get and get. But help them to realize they need to be a refreshing Christian as well. Maybe there's somebody standing around them or standing near them that's so low. And they'll hear them singing and clapping their hands. And it'll be so refreshing to them. It'll help them to get in the service. Help each of us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this book of Acts. We thank you, Lord, for the great spiritual principles that are there. But we thank you for the natural things that you had Luke to write. We thank you for the church troubles that he wrote about. The difficulty, the humanity of the apostles. The trouble they faced. Their fears, their anxieties, their storms of life. We thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to each of our hearts, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. How many loves him with all your heart? How many wants to be a refreshing Christian tonight? Oh, maybe you're in that sponge time of your life, and boy, you're just a pulling and a pulling and a pulling. We all get there. I get there. You get there. We all get there. But let's not stay there, friends. Don't camp there. Don't make it a permanent residence. Let God bring you out on the other side of that thing so you can be a bubbling Christian. By bubbling, I'm not talking about ones who can't sit still on the pew and screams the loudest. I'm talking about bubbling in your soul. Something that keeps you in the time of trouble. Not just emotional. Not just emotional screaming and hollering. That's all well and good. Many emotional people are as deserty as they can be. Because without emotion, they're backset. They're on the bottom. They can sit on a dime and swing their knees and legs. That's low, ain't it? But a real person who's refreshing, they may not have felt nothing in a month, but they're bubbling inside their soul. Why? They know they're saved. They know they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They're called of God, whether they feel it or whether they don't. They're going to pray. They're going to read their Bible. They're going to church. And when they get to church, they're not going to be an ornament on the end of the pew. They're going to clap their hands. They're going to sing. They're going to praise God. They want everybody and the devil to know whose side they're on. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him with all your heart? Brother West, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, my brother? Brother West and some of the saints, some of the young folks and some of the others as well, was up with Brother Nathan Bryant in Indiana this past weekend. I got a real long text from Brother Nathan about Brother West. And about some of you young people and saints that went. It was so complimentary. He just went on and went on about Brother West and the preaching. And he said, you'd have been so proud of your young people and of the church. He said, I just wanted to let you know they were such a witness and a testimony of the Lord Jesus. I thought, ain't that wonderful? You know what that was? Amen. That was a 7-Up text. Refreshing. God bless you. I'll be back.
You want to hear the other side of it is that I've been in a dark hole under the shadow of the juniper tree all day long. It's beating my brains out. I come in here and life ministered to me and got pumped back up again. So I'm so grateful that God's so mindful of what we need, each and every one of us. He's just so mindful. We're so fortunate to be in a place where we get the living word. Not just some old stale water out of a cistern. Oh Lord, let's bow our heads before I get too tore up. Father, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful, Lord, for every single thing that you do for us. Every word that you give us, Lord. Every time you're mindful when we think you're nowhere around, when we think we're all alone. And we're never alone. You never leave us alone. You never forsake us, Lord. I thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord, in the bride of Christ today, through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ across this whole globe, Lord. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to give in to the thoughts of the devil who says that we're beat down and that we're nothing. We're going to believe what you've said. We're everything, and you're coming for us. And Lord, we know that no matter how dark the devil makes it look, the brightest thing that's ever been seen from the dawn of time is getting ready to spring forth from this earth and meet her Lord and Savior in the air. And Lord, we're going to be in eternity with you, and there is going to be nothing that we can ever imagine that'll come close to that glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. I praise your name for each and every saint of God. Lord, I love them with all my heart, and I thank you for each and every one of them, the way it all works together in one accord, Lord. Oh, my God, I just love you so much. Be with your people, Lord God, till we come back together again as one lick of fire, Lord, to praise and worship you. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
See you high and lifted up.
Amen.
Shining the light of your glory.
Everybody wants to see. Oh, with all of our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. See you.
I'm gonna see. Praise God, amen. Praise God, amen. God bless you, saints. Turn and shake somebody's hand and tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been so good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you, Lord willing. See you again this weekend. Let's just come expecting the Lord to speak to us again by His Word. Don't you appreciate Him, His kindness? Harry, can you sing Our God Reigns as we go? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you heard it yesterday. Korea was able to put their first missile up and flew hundreds and hundreds of miles. America's getting scared. Japan's getting scared. The bride's getting ready. It's all got to come to that place, friends. Let's get ready to leave this world. Don't wait till next year. Oh, I'm waiting till Louisiana camp. You better not. There may not be one. Oh, I'm waiting for Brother Tim's dedication of his church. I'm going to get on fire for God. They may never have it dedicated. Let's get ready tonight. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you in the Lord. Appreciate you.
Our God reigns.